Well, folks, you'll be pleased to know that I'm not going to preach a message this morning. Not quite. But given all that we've been doing this morning, I want us to think about a couple of questions. They're connected to baptism, and I reckon baptism is a really significant event. Whether we were baptized as a kid like Jaden and Yuka, and our parents and the church stepped in for us and made some commitments that we picked up for ourselves later, or maybe you were baptized as an adult like we did with some of our adult church family this morning, that doesn't matter. Baptism is lining our lives up with God. Baptism is saying yes to Jesus. And in the world we live in today, that's a pretty awesome thing to do. Because the message of Jesus is a message of love and redemption and hope and grace and mercy and compassion. And many of us here have experienced that love of Jesus. And we know what it's like to be God's children, to be a part of God's family. But there are a lot of folks, many right here in Bondi Junction, many are our neighbours, and they don't know that message. They don't understand who God is. They've never experienced the grace and forgiveness of Jesus. So what does that mean if we're baptised? And I thought we'd start by asking a question. I want you to imagine you're Jaden or Yuka or Evelyn or Beatrix. What's exciting about the world that they will grow up in? What would you say on their behalf? Think about that for 15 seconds. What would you say on their behalf? What's exciting? This is just you, I'm not going to ask you. What's exciting about the world that they're going to grow up in? And here's the second question. What troubles you about the world they will grow up in? What troubles you about that world? Now, that mightn't be too hard a question to answer these days. We could start with COVID and climate and the state many countries are in. What does it mean to be a baptized person in that kind of world? How will we approach the culture we live in? Will we be oblivious? Will we hide? Will we slam the culture? Will we embrace people, offer an alternative? How will we as baptized people respond? So James, have I got some screens I can put up here? Yep. So one way that we can think about that question is to ask this question. How would I be if Jesus came to my place? Now, think about that. Lois Blanchard Eads wrote a poem back in the 1950s called exactly that, If Jesus Came to Your House. Hold your breath, here it is. If Jesus came to your house to spend some time with you, if he came unexpected, I wonder what you'd do. Oh, I know you'd give your nicest room to such an honoured guest, and all the food you'd give to him would be the very best. And you would keep assuring him you're glad to have him there, that serving him in your home is joy beyond compare. But when you saw him coming, would you meet him at the door with arms outstretched in welcome to your heavenly visitor? Or would you have to change your clothes before you let him in? Or hide some magazines and put the Bible where they'd been? Would you hide your worldly music and put some hymn books out? Could you let Jesus walk right in? Or would you rush about? And I wonder if the Saviour spent a day or two with you, would you go right on doing the things you always do? Would you go right on saying the things you always say? Or would life for you continue as it does from day to day? Would you take Jesus with you everywhere you go? Or would you maybe change your plans for just a day or so? Would you be glad to have him, meet your closest friends? Or would you hope they stay away until his visit ends? Would you be glad to have him stay forever on and on? Or would you sigh with great relief when he at last was gone? It might be interesting to know the things that you would do if Jesus came in person to spend some time with you. So imagine with me, if Jesus came to your place, how he would relate to the world around him, to the people around him. And ask yourself, how can we connect with those people in our lives who are sometimes not just turned away from God, but who are running in the other direction? How can we be the carriers of a message which can change their lives and change it for eternity? So, I think there's a screen, James. Jesus' last words before he ascended into heaven in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, we heard it earlier, were, therefore go and make disciples. He said, if you're a follower of mine, I want you to go out into the community. I want you to go into the office building. I want you to go to the job site. I want you to go to the hospitals or the prisons or the schools and communicate the only message on the face of the planet that can transform a human being's life for eternity. Now, I want you to imagine what it would be like if Jesus lived in your house. How would he relate to the neighbours on your street, my street? What lessons might I learn from him? And I think there are just a couple of quick things. I think, next one please, James, if Jesus came to my place, he'd have compassion and concern for his neighbours. We know this from Scripture because the only place in the entire Bible where Jesus tells three stories in a row to essentially make the same point is found in Luke 15. In them, he tells the story about a sheep who's wandered away from the flock. He talked about a widow who lost a coin, a big part of her inheritance. And he talked about a father whose son took his inheritance early and moved out in pursuit of wine and women and song. It was essentially two lessons that Jesus was trying to teach through these stories. The first lesson, that which was lost is valuable. And that which was lost warranted an all-out search. What Jesus is saying is lost people, people who are spiritually confused, who are wandering away from him, they matter to God. They're valuable to Jesus. They're made in the image of God. They're important, and he's saying they warrant a search. He said in Luke 19, verse 10, I think there's a screen for that, his main agenda in this world, Jesus, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. If we're a follower of Jesus, we need to be about the mission of seeking and communicating his message of hope to those who are spiritually confused. If Jesus lived in my house, he would have compassion and concern for my neighbors. Second thing, if Jesus lived in my house before talking to the neighbors about God, I reckon he'd talk to God about my neighbors. In other words, he'd pray. Jesus, before he did anything of significance, he'd always go to God and he'd pray. If Jesus lived in my house, he'd be praying for the people in his life and the people in our street who didn't know God. Thirdly, if Jesus lived in my house, he'd love his neighbours enough to invest time in them. Jesus loved to hang out with irreligious people. Perfect time to remember the story of a guy named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a corrupt first century tax collector. He was a short little guy. He heard Jesus was coming to town. He wanted to see Jesus. He climbed up a tree to get a good view. Here Jesus comes into town. Jesus walks by. And in Luke 19 verse 5, it says, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. Why? Jesus says, because I must stay at your house today. We're going to hang out, you and me. That's what Jesus loved to do. The truth is, we followers of Jesus, we like to hang out with other Christians. It's called fellowship. It's great. It's wonderful, and I highly recommend it. But it shouldn't be to the exclusion of investing our lives as well into people who do not know God. I know if Jesus lived in my house, I'd probably find him more than half the time with people in the street looking for chances to talk about God. Fourth thing, if Jesus lived in my house, he wouldn't just share his faith, he would show it. In other words, talk is cheap. Jesus didn't just say, I love the world. He showed that he loved the world by serving the world. So in Matthew 5:16, it says, don't hide your light. Let it shine for all. Let your good deeds glow for all to see. So they will praise the Heavenly Father. And the last one, I know if Jesus lived in my house, he'd be out So if Jesus lived, he'd be out half the time helping people. And then the last one, if Jesus lived in my house, I reckon he'd take spiritual risks for the sake of his neighbours. Jesus was always taking risks when he was talking to irreligious people. In John 4, he and his disciples come across a Samaritan woman, and the disciples went on into town, and Jesus stays behind to talk to the woman. In the first century, a Jewish male would never talk to a Samaritan woman, especially one like her who was living an immoral life. It was a big social faux pas to do it. But Jesus took social risks. He did it. Back to Zacchaeus, the tax agent in the tree. When Jesus invited himself over to Zacchaeus' house, look at the reaction in Luke 19, verse 7. It says, but the crowds were displeased. He's gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. And they grumbled. They grumbled. Look what he's doing. Friends, the truth is Jesus didn't just risk his reputation by hanging out with irreligious people. He ruined his reputation. Jesus was falsely accused of being a drunkard and a glutton. I wonder what Jesus would be doing if he came to stay at your place. I'd like you to think about that for a moment and about what you might be doing at your place if you're a follower of Jesus and you've been baptized. I don't know, does the video clip work, James? There's a little video clip, there's just some music, there's no words you've got to follow. So while this little video clip plays, I want you just to think about that question for you. You can think and imagine a video clip. Okay, don't worry about it. If Jesus came to your place, have a think about your street. Have a think about your neighbours. Think about your circle of companions. Think about the commission of Jesus on your life if you are baptised to go into the world and make disciples. Our Lord, easy for us to say that the task is too big, that we don't know how to do it, that the task of talking to others about who you are and who Jesus is for somebody else. But Lord, if we're baptized with the mark of a cross on our foreheads or put underwater and raised up as a sign of death and resurrection to new life. If we're baptized, you have commissioned us to do something, to say something, to be somebody in the time and the place in which you've placed us. Whether we like the world we're living in or not, whether we like our neighbours or not, whether we find it easy or hard, the commission remains. Go into all the world, baptising in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and make disciples, teaching them to do all that I've commanded you, even until the end of the age. Holy Spirit, I pray, help us all with that task. Refresh our commission this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.